If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Galatians chapter 4 this morning, and I want to read a few passages to us this morning. But I want to talk to us this morning about living beyond what is ordinary. And there's a huge pressure for every one of us to live our lives like everyone else lives our lives. To actually, to someone that has been born of the Spirit of God, a Spirit-filled, empowered believer, but to live your life and to bring it down just to the standard of the world and to live our lives like everybody else lives. There's a huge amount of pressure on people to conform even into the things of this world. And there is strong pressure that will come upon us. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, you can keep turning to Galatians 4, but just look on the screen for this one. 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." It calls us aliens and strangers. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go around acting weird. It doesn't say, "You weird ones." Well, no, we're not to be weird, but we are aliens and we are strangers. We don't really belong here. We're not of this world. We live in the kingdom of God and under His precepts. And we have to be in the world, but we're not of this world. And to urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. But I want to just ask you, if your workmates were to ask you, would they see anything different about you at all? Would they say, "There's something different about you. There's just something about you," not because you're a nutcase, not because of you do silly things, but there's just something about you that is different. Something about your demeanor. That when those dirty jokes are flying around, you're not there, you're not one of them laughing and being a part of all of that. There's something different about you. There's something about the way that you carry yourself, something about the values, what you find important in life. And the way that you live your life, is it different? And that's what I want to talk about today, about living beyond the ordinary, not to be an ordinary person. And God has not called any of us to be ordinary people. You say, "Well, I'm just an ordinary person." Well, yeah, okay, in many ways we are. We're nothing in particularly with our own selves, with our own natural abilities, maybe our own skills or talents. Maybe we aren't exceptional or outstanding. But remember, God says that He chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And so God has chosen us, but He wants us to live a life that's not the ordinary life, to live an extraordinary life. Ordinary people, yep, maybe, but doing extraordinary things and living a life that's not the same as everyone else. There is huge pressures to conform. 1 Peter 4:4, it says, and it's talking about other people, people of the world. They think it's strange that you don't plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation or into sin, and they heap abuse on you. People in the world say, "Well, why don't you do what we do? Why aren't you into all the stuff that we're into?" And it says they think it's strange. But at work or at school or where you are, do the other kids think it's strange that you don't get into the swearing and the behavior and the carry on of everyone else that other people do? Do they think it's strange, or do you get swept along and get pressured into that? I remember when I was at school, there was a huge pressure to be anything but a godly kid at school. It was not easy to be a godly kid at school. Because if you wanted to be in the in crowd, you had to be one of the ones that you had to have a bit of a mouth, what you say, the language you used, all of those things to be accepted. And there was this pressure to conform and to be like them. And the way they used to put down, the way they used to talk about girls and the way they used to degrade them and talk about them, and a huge pressure. And to stand aside from that and say, "Well, no, I'm not actually going to be a part of that," it's not an easy thing to do. But we have a power to do that if we understand what we have in Christ. I want to talk a little bit about that. But do you stand aside in your workplace? Do you stand aside in school? And are you different in the way that you respond to things, in the way that you behave? Because God has not called us to be an ordinary people who live an ordinary life. I mean, I do something weird, and I'm not saying I don't drink coffee. Now, there's nothing wrong with coffee. We got cappuccinos after the service. All you coffee nuts, fantastic, coffee's great. But I've never really been into coffee. But even socially, sometimes there's a pressure. People think, "Gee, what's wrong with you? You don't drink coffee." Now, coffee's not a sin, so I'm just using that example. But even that, I have a friend, like, for example, who him and I were good friends, we're still friends. And we just had the same standard on the things of alcohol. Now, there's nothing in the Bible about drinking alcohol, except there is a lot about being drunk and all of the behaviours and everything else that flow within it and the risks associated with people. And there's people that have have a disposition to alcoholism, or plenty of reasons not to drink at all. And certainly I've one who is never drunk and never interested in doing that. And but I have a friend that we had the same sort of values, and he, there's no way that he would do that. One, because of the example it is that people say, oh, well, if you're having one drink, I'll have 10 or whatever. We want to be an example, and that's really what Paul says. Don't do anything that's going to make your brother stumble, and if it could make him stumble, then just simply don't do it, and that's what I hold to. But he also, because of the business area that was in, the areas of business that he was involved in, and to be socially acceptable in business was this huge pressure to him to drink. And so my friend, we'd go along there, he resisted that at the start, but then because of the pressure in business, like you don't want to be, you know, stand outside in business, and so he ended up getting and drinks. Now, I don't say that he gets drunk, but I just thought there's a little compromises that begin to happen in our lives. And I'm not saying that he's necessarily sinning, because I don't believe he's going out and getting drunk. But some people do that. Some people do that because they'll start on a little compromise and it just begins to be with something. And to stand aside and to be different, it's not an easy thing to do if you try to do it in your own strength. But there is actually a difference about you anyway. And what I want to talk about is how to actually tapping into that and allowing the fact that you are different to come out and to live your life not as an ordinary person, but to live beyond the ordinary. God has not called you into the kingdom of God that you might be like everyone else. That he's called you to stand aside, but also and to stand and actually to be something that's going to help change other people rather than everyone changing you. It says in Romans 12 too, it says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But it's such a strong pattern. We get hit with the pattern from the world from everywhere. Yeah, on TV, the patterning of the world is always there, trying to hit us everywhere. All the advertising, the media, everything is trying to make us conform our thinking, our lifestyle, to mold us and shape us into the pattern of this world. But as believers, we've got to live beyond the ordinary and allow the things of the Spirit of God to rise in our own hearts, and so that we don't live like everyone else. We're aliens and strangers in the land. We're not aliens with our two little, you know, little feelers coming up here or whatever else. But we're different. We don't belong to this world. We belong to the kingdom of God. We're citizens of heaven. And to live a life that is beyond the ordinary. But you find that if you are, and I want you just to check your own heart today and say, well, gee, what kind of life am I living? Am I living an ordinary life? Or am I living a life that is full of the Spirit of God? And as we go through a whole lot of things today, you better ask yourself that question and look at your own life. I'm not looking at your life. You look at your own heart and you ask yourself and say, wow, Jesus, maybe I have in my own heart, I've actually lowered myself down to live just an ordinary life and to live like people who don't even know Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about that you're necessarily rollicking in the depths of sin, but just in our lives, you can be a person that keeps a very clean life and still live a very ordinary life, because you'll end up living a religious life. Let's have a look at Galatians chapter 4 and just have a look at this. This is as a background to the story in Galatians 4. We're going to read from 19 to 31. But here it's basically Paul, a whole part of Galatians, is people that are contrasting living under law and living under grace. And there's an allegory basically that Paul uses that we'll have a look at, and the bottom line is he's just saying, look, you can't rely on anything else in your life other than Jesus Christ. That's really the bottom line. You can't rely on anything else other than Jesus Christ in your life. And you can live as a free person or you can live as a slave. And we can have all the rights as a free person and still live as an ordinary slave, because the people in the world are living in slavery, under bondage. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're living under slavery. But we can have the rights, the inheritance of everything as a free man in Christ, but still live like a slave. What a tragedy that is. If you've got someone that was being held captive and he's been set free, but he still lives like a slave. No, you're free. You're not a slave anymore. But they just still live like a slave. God doesn't want us to live like a slave. He wants us to be free men. This is talking a little bit about Abraham. It talks about his two sons. And there was a promise for Abraham when he was 75 years of age that he was going to be a great nation. 75. You think by then something might have happened, but at 75, the promise of God to be a great nation. His wife Sarai later becomes Sarah. She takes matters into her own hand. At 86, she gives her handmaiden Hagar to Abraham and says, okay, let's have this mighty nation there. And so she actually gives her maid like as a wife to Abram. What a horrible thing that would have been to her to do, to give that to Abraham. And out of that, his son Ishmael is born. And we're going to talk about Ishmael, who was the child of Hagar. And we're going to talk about Isaac, who's the son of Sarah. But then 14 years later, so after waiting for 16 years of saying, well, God's made a promise in my life, God's going to do something, nothing happens at all for 16 years. So after 16 years, now God's made a promise of waiting for 16 years, nothing happens at all. So she takes matters into her own hands. Well, okay, well, maybe I need to fulfill what God has said and I will do it myself. And, of course, you have Ishmael is born and then all the heartache, the nations that rose out of Ishmael that then became the enemies that warred against Israel that happened out of that. But 14 years later, God does this incredible miracle. So he's pushing 100 and this son Isaac is born. And it talks about a contrast of these two sons. And I want to have a look at that because they're a picture. Yep, they're a picture of law and grace. But they're a picture for us also of living an ordinary life or living an extraordinary life or a spirit-filled and a spirit-led life. And I want to contrast those two lives because you still can step into the kingdom of God and say, yes, I take Jesus into my life. But after giving your life to Christ, you can still live your life as a slave. You can still live, if you like, as an Ishmael or as a son of Hagar, a child of Hagar. Even though that you have every right and inheritance and blessing in Christ, but you live your life not accordance to what has been given to us already in Christ. Or we've got the other way to live our lives, is where we can actually live as a child of the promise, someone that lives in that supernatural element in our life, not just the natural or the ordinary, but to live in the supernatural. So let's read this passage of Galatians chapter 4 and reading down from verse 19. It says, my dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And that's the appeal. I want to see Christ formed in your life, Paul is crying out in this passage. Or what our phrase is, to be everything that God has made you to be. That's our heart. That's the cry of our church. Our leadership here is that every one of us will be everything that Christ wants us to be, that everything that God has made us to be will come forth in our lives. What kind of person? My dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone. But I'm perplexed about you. You're saying, I don't understand this. You're free, but you're still living as ordinary people or living even under law. In verse 21, he says, tell me, you want to be under the law. Are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, which you want to talk about. One by the slave woman, which is Hagar, and the other by the free woman, which is Sarah. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. Ask yourself, how have you been born? These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and bears children who are now to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she's in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. And at that time the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It's the same now. But what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we're not children of a slave woman, but we are but of the free woman. And so this incredible contrast that the Scripture makes, it talks about living in the ordinary way, And as I said, you can come into the kingdom and give your heart to Christ and have that adoption of sons. You have sonship put upon your life by the power and the Spirit of God. So we have sonship given to us. We have every right, every blessing, every promise. It says every promise that was given to Abraham, but every promise of Scripture is ours. But even having that, we can still not walk in that. And we can still not live in that. And we can still live our life in the ordinary way. Even though we've got everything, it's all ours, but we live in the ordinary way. How do you live your life? You come into the kingdom of God, God's given you everything, but do you live in the ordinary way? Where you live by natural processes, responses, the limitations, the boundaries of this world and of this life. Is that how you live? Or do we live as one that is born of the Spirit of God and who knows what it is to be led of the Spirit of God? And I want to just contrast. I want to look at a whole lot of these things there. This is a miracle, absolute miracle, that Sarah was able to have a son, Isaac, pushing over 90. And just for her to be able to have a son was a total miracle of God. And it says that Abraham, it says for him that his righteousness was credited to him out because of faith, because of his faith that he had. He trusted in God. And to have that tapping into that supernatural dimension is so important. We can try to live our lives and try to have Hagars operating all over the place in our lives. But if you have Hagars loosed in your life, you're not going to enter into the promises of God. But if you stand under the promise of God, you'll see great things happen in your life. Let's just contrast some of these things a little bit between the child that talks about born a Hagar, who's born in the ordinary way, or the one that in verse 29 it says, the ordinary way versus the one born under the power of the Spirit. Now, when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says that you were born again. You were born again. You know, you would physically weren't born again. You weren't standing there all of a sudden, you know, you're changing. Wow, I look beautiful. No, it didn't happen to me. But something happened beautiful on the inside. Became a whole new person, a whole brand new creation. Something changed when we were born again. And before we came to Christ, we were all born in the ordinary way. We were all born under the world's systems and the world's processes and the world's responses. But when we came to Christ, we were born again. We're suddenly now born and we now have a whole new dimension that we're able to live in, into the things of God, in the power of the Spirit of God, and to come into every inheritance and blessing and promise that we have in God. Totally different. We were born again. But we can have this incredible transformation, born again, and here I have all the capacity, all of the ability, all the destiny, the inheritance, the rights, everything over here, and still be just like everyone else. And just live according to the world. And I want you to have a look at your own heart today. And as we go through some things and say, wow, yeah, am I really understanding what it is to walk in this dimension, what God has for me? Or do I find that I just, yeah, reality is, I know I got that, but I really just don't live it. I really don't live it. And so just check your own heart today, because we're going to grow in God, that Christ is formed in us. We've got to live over in the realm of the Spirit of God to be Spirit-led people. So let's have a look at some of the things. It tells us that the child of Hagar was living under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, only way to get anywhere in the kingdom of God, or in the things of God, or even in life, was to follow a whole lot of rules and to do a whole lot of things that were imposed externally. And it's all performance driven. It's actually working so hard and slaving and just trying to always earn acceptance and to earn that. And you're just always under that bondage, always works driven under the law. And some people are like that. They still, even though they have the rights of a son of the living God, still think that I have to do a whole lot of things and jump through plenty of hoops before God will accept me. And maybe the reason why I'm not in my inheritance here, I'm not really receiving everything God has for me, is because maybe I'm still not good enough, and maybe there's some more stuff that I need to do so that I can get what God has. And that's just a lie. He's already given it to us. Christ gave it to us. His death on the cross gave us that right, the adoption of sons and the inheritance of all the blessing. And so we don't need to do anything to earn it or to get there. We've already got it in Christ. But some people will fall into that trap. And also, someone that lives in the ordinary way, we're governed by the things around them. that your provision in your own family depends on the economy. If the economy is good, then we've all got good jobs and good money. Oh, the economy is bad, and the ordinary way is that I'm going to struggle. I won't be able to get a job. I'm just going to struggle in areas of my life. I'm going to struggle in the ordinary way. But in the extraordinary way, or in the spirit way, or the child born of the promise way, is actually, it's God's economy is the economy that counts. It's not the economy of the world. I'm not bound or limited by the world or the natural order of things, whether it's in terms of employment or whatever area else in our lives, whether it's even our own physical bodies, whether our own health. Under the ordinary way of things, under the natural order of things, is that there's medical things and medical science will deal with it. And what medical science cannot deal with, we're sorry we can't do anything, but we'll slip you a couple of painkillers and we'll try to do whatever we can for you. That's the natural order of things. What medical science can do is the limit of whatever can be done under the natural order of things. And so if you're living over here and if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, I feed these children on shortening bread. No, he won't say that. You go to the doctor and the doctor says something to you that is quite, oh, no. Under the ordinary way, you've now got a boundary. There's a line that is now drawn, a limitation. And that's it, what medical science can do, and that's it. And praise God for doctors, and God uses doctors. Doctors are good. There's nothing wrong with doctors. But that's as far as what man can do. But if you're living over here, you realize, well, hang on, there's actually the supernatural over here. There's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's the power of what Christ did upon the cross, that by his stripes I was healed. I was healed. It was done. It was actually given to me. My healing's already done, already finished and complete on the cross. And so here I am over here. And in God, there's no line. There's no limit. There's no restriction. There's no limitation. God can do anything. His miraculous power is able to do anything. So how do we process things? If we process things, bad news from a doctor, do we process it, only now I'm down here in the ordinary way? Or do I think, well, hang on a minute, I'm not limited by what the doctors can do. I'm actually under the power of the living God. And I'm going to respond, and my processes, everything will be done by that. If we look at someone that, if we haven't understood what it is to come over here and we're actually living in the ordinary way, so the ordinary way, people live their ordinary lives to satisfy themselves. Every one of us has needs. Now, there's certain needs that we all need. We do need. You need to eat. You need to be warm, and praise God, the heater did work and got it going, praise God. And all of those things that you need, fantastic. But someone who lives in the ordinary way, the whole frame of reference of their life is to satisfy those needs. It's the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of fulfilling those desires, and to have those needs in me met, that I have needs and they must be met, and that's the ordinary way of living. And some people will live their lives like that. They just think about how they spend their time, what they do, everything is to live according to satisfying desires and needs in their life. I need this, I need that, and everything, time, energy, finance, everything is directed to the satisfying of needs. We don't live like that. We actually live in a different kingdom, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. For people who don't know Christ, who haven't crossed over this line, it doesn't make a lot of sense the way that we live our lives there, because sacrifice is a ridiculous concept. If you're over here in the worldly sense, why would anyone give up anything of themselves for another person? Now, some people, there's some good people who make sacrifices that aren't believers. Don't get me wrong with that. But it goes against the order of things. It's against the natural order of things that you put yourself out for someone, that you make a sacrifice. And some people struggle with that. Oh, no, this is going to cost me. I have to go pick someone up for church. I have to do something. It's going to make it awkward. It's going to make it uncomfortable for me. And we process it from that, or else we process it from the other mindset. It says, no, I'm actually can live a life of sacrifice because I know the sacrifice that Christ made for me. And so making sacrifices is not a big deal. It's just something that flows out of your life because you understand the sacrifice that Christ has made from us. When we're people that live according to the ordinary way, every decision in life, everything that you do is based on what the information that you receive, whether it's what you see with your own eyes or whether what you hear on the news or whatever. We make every decision based on what we see and what we hear. And that's the ordinary way, and people do that. They'll make a decision. Oh, should I buy this or should I buy that? Should I make this investment or not make that investment? And they'll make get all the data together and they'll make a decision purely based on information. Now, God's given us a brain, and I suggest you use it. He has given us a brain, and we do need to use it, but we're not limited by that. We've also got to understand and hear the heartbeat of God, because something incredibly logical may not actually be sensible in God's picture of things. Because remember, when we look at anything, we only see this tiny little bit. We're looking at this little dot. You have a screen and they've got however many pixels on a screen, thousands of pixels. We look at one little pixel on the screen and we make the decision based on that little pixel of our own experience, what we've heard, what we see, what we know. And yet there's the whole picture. But yet we will do that. And that the ordinary way of thinking, the ordinary way is to base the decisions of life purely on what we know, what we've experienced or what someone else has told us, rather than hearing from God on the issue. And ask yourself the kind of decisions you make. I'm not talking about whether you had Wheaties or cornflakes, all right? Nothing stupid. Don't go all stupid. As I said, we're aliens. We're not weird. But the decisions in life, career choices, young people that are looking, well, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to just look at, okay, well, these are the skills I have, I'm naturally good at it, or you're allowing the things of God to direct your choices in life? And all of the decisions that we face, major decisions in our life, do we hear from the Spirit of God, or we actually make the decision, work out what we're going to do, and then, oh, we better pray about it, Lord, now bless what I'm going to do, rather than hearing from what God has for us. But it's so easy to do that, to make decisions on based on what we see in the ordinary way of things. People, in the ordinary way of living is that you base things on how you feel at the moment. And whatever you do is whether it feels good. If it feels good, you do it. If it doesn't feel good, you don't do it. That's part of the ordinary way. Our responses, our emotions rise up. We get confronted or challenged. Oh, hang on a moment. We get all whatever, or we get upset, we get angry, we get whatever. That's the ordinary way. The ordinary way to live, if someone challenges you or confronts you or hurts you or does something to you, is you're up there and you're ready to fight, you're ready to take them on. That's the ordinary way of responding. That's the natural way to respond. But for people that are actually crossed that line, who are not over as a son of Ishmael or the child of Hagar, but are coming as a child of the promise, a child of Sarah, supernatural, we don't do that. We allow the Holy Spirit to actually moderate our own thoughts and behavior. We allow the Holy Spirit to do that in our lives. And it doesn't happen from, it's actually happens from having a lifestyle of walking with God. That's how we do that. That's how we cultivate it, so that we're not like everyone else. Now, look, none of us are perfect. Hands up if you're perfect. Okay. None of us are perfect. We know that, we all make mistakes. We all do that. The turkey cuts you off in the car and you call him a turkey. Okay. It's not good. And so sometimes we do that. And as much, we sometimes those natural, but I'm talking about the way that you live. We're not talking about if you've slipped up at some stage, because all of us at times you're going to slip up sometime. But our life is that we don't live governed by our emotions or our feelings. So people make major decisions in their lives based on how they feel. I feel really good at the moment, so I'm going to go out there and buy a new car. And then they get the first lot of payments. I don't feel so good anymore. But they'll do that. People make all sorts of decisions based on emotions. Oh, I'm not talking to that person anymore. I'm not doing this. Or in families, allow divisions to be in their families because I don't feel they hurt me, they upset me. And that's the ordinary way of thinking. If you're allowing division and separation to come into families and relationships, that's the ordinary way. But it's to live outside of that is to live in the realm of forgiveness and to have a gracious heart, to live in grace, to forgive people when they hurt us, even to their family and the people that are dear to us can really hurt us. In your extended family and beyond, people can hurt you. The ordinary way is, well, I'm not talking to them now. They upset me at grandma's wedding in 1973 or whatever it was, 1927, however old grandma is, and I'm not talking to them anymore because they hurt me and I've got every right to be angry. Well, the reality is you probably have. You probably got every right not to talk to them because of what happened at grandma's wedding. Probably every reason and every right, but that's the ordinary way. We're not ordinary. We live over here, and this way is under the realm of grace and a promise. And we say, Lord Jesus, you've forgiven me, and I will forgive them, and I will do whatever it takes to be at peace with all men, to have that relationship, but to be people that aren't governed by our emotions. Are you like that? Is your relationships depending on what people have done or said to you, or do you allow grace to operate in your life? How are you living your life? Sometimes if we're living as an ordinary person, people in the world are always concerned about how they look. They want to look good. They want to be acceptable to other people and do stuff that looks good. We've got a prayer meeting coming up. It looks good to be at the prayer meeting. It does look good. And some people will want to go and say, oh, I better put up a good appearance, or I better be represented or be an appearance, and so I'm going to go to the prayer meeting on Friday because it's really, because it'll look good. It reflects well upon me if I'm there. And the ordinary way of thinking in life is that I will do things because other people will think well of me or good of me, and I will do what looks good, and then people will think I'm okay. If I look good, then I must be good, and people will think I'm okay. And that's the worldly way. So much money is spent on marketing and multi-billions of dollars on cosmetics, and I'm not against cosmetics. Use them. They're great. Fantastic. Whatever. I'm not against hair product. If you've got hair, praise God. Product it. I'd love to use hair product, but whatever it is. But some people get their whole identity, their whole self-worth and everything on their physical appearance or on the opinions of other people. And that's the ordinary way to live. But as Christians, we say, no, I don't do that. The only opinion that really counts in my life is really what God thinks of me, and I live my life for His glory. And my acceptance comes from Him, not from other people. That's where my sense of acceptance comes through. And we can also, if we're living as a child of Hagar, even though we are a child of the promises, we can become very religious. You think, well, I never get religious. But to be a religious believer is someone that goes through the motions. If you're here today because you know that you should come to church on Sunday, you may be here for an ordinary reason today. You might think, gee, I never thought of it like that. But see, and we can do that. We can make choices, even good choices, but still make them out of the ordinary way. You can be religious in your attitude. Have you ever, in your Christian walk, feel that you are going through the motions? Then you are living your life not over here as a child of the promise. You're actually living your life in the ordinary way. If you struggle to get to church, and maybe that because your mindset is, I'm in the ordinary way. The ordinary way is Sunday morning, sleep in, guys. You had a hard week, busy week. Kick off your shoes and sleep in and relax. That's the ordinary way of thinking. Read the paper, get breakfast in bed, whatever it is, the ordinary way. Or there's a different way, and it's really to do with the heart motivation, because you can still do the right thing and do it in the ordinary way. The difference is a heart thing. We've got a prayer meeting coming Friday night. Over here is a child of the promises, Lord. I stand in my inheritance in Christ, Lord, and I have a desire to be with you, Lord. I have a desire to pray, Lord, because I want to be with you. And Father, I understand the power that we have, that when we pray together, that we will launch such an incredible power in my own life and across the church, even into the community, even as we pray. And I'm going to be there, not because I want to look good or because I have to go, but because there's something in my heart that causes me to rise up. And it amazes me, you know, the passion. We're talking about the soccer, people are so passionate about the World Cup. So passionate. They'll stay up every night, watch every single match of the soccer. That is a hesitation. Prayer meeting. Oh, prayer meeting. Because you're living in the ordinary way. It's crazy. Why would you want to pray? Why would you want to go to a prayer meeting and stay up late at night or whatever? Why would you want to do that? In the ordinary way, it's nuts. Why would you want to do it? But if you're living over in the things of the, as a child of the promise, you think, man, I'll be there. Of course I'm going to be there. Not to look good so people will think I'm good, and not because I have to, because I'm expected to be there, but because there's something in my heart. I live in the realm of the supernatural. I can't think of anything better than to get together and to pray with the saints of God. But if you're living in the ordinary way, you don't think that way. And you may think, well, I better go, because if I don't now, people are going to think I'm bad. Well, you're living in the ordinary way. Some of you might not be able to be there for whatever reason. Well, that's fine, not a problem. But if there's something in your heart that stirs you, say, yeah, I'm going to be there because I can be there and I can choose to be there and I will make the choice because I want to. That's a child of the promise. It's a supernatural child who's led in that way. So you can be religious. We can be religious and not even realize we're not careful. And it says that if we live in the ordinary way, that there's no inheritance in that. There's no inheritance in that. You don't have the blessings in life. You don't have those things. You don't have that sense of peace and security and the sense of purpose and destiny, that the sense that, yep, I can make a difference in this world, because ordinary people are just living day to day, doing day to day things. We've got to do all that stuff too. God knows that you still have to work and we still have to do those things that we need to do, but we live our life in a different way and there's an inheritance. The difference in the child of Sarah is over and this crossing the line, if you like, is they're living that life of grace in our relationships, in our responses with people. And so that you could not possibly bear to have a broken relationship with someone. You just couldn't bear it. Something inside you just stirs in your heart. Really, you can't do that. You can't allow that. You can't, husband and wife, you can't go 5 minutes and just without... No, I can't allow anything between us. I've got to do something. In your family, you just can't allow that. Ordinary way says, yeah, they deserve it. Treat them like that for the rest of their lives. We live over here in a life of grace. We're saying, I just can't bear that. I can't bear to have those relationships, and I'll do whatever it takes. Sometimes it doesn't matter whatever I do is not enough. But I'm just going to keep trying. I'm going to keep pressing in because I'm living a life of grace. But to be governed by the supernatural, to be mindful that, hang on, there's God in my situation. Hang on, there's God. I don't have to deal with this as a normal person would deal with it. I can actually deal with this knowing that the Lord is with me, that the Lord can do a miracle if I need a miracle. The Lord can touch me and I can deal with things in a whole new realm because there's the Spirit of God and the power, as we say so many times, and one day I hope we all grab a hold of it, that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in me. I'm empowered and endued by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not confined by this world. I live in a realm of the Spirit. Yeah, I've got to walk with my feet on this on the earth, and I don't have my heads in the cloud and I'm a fairy floating around in nothingness. I've got to be grounded on this earth, but there's a power and a potential in God that we can draw on that affects every area of the ordinary life that we have to deal with, but it makes it extraordinary because we're drawing on the power of God in our lives. And so that you don't get times where you're just discouraged and disheartened because you're never going through the motions. There's something of God. The Spirit of God is the thing that keeps us and sustains us and just keeps us going. And beyond just surviving, it makes us live in the realm of victory in our lives. So it's just to grab a hold of that. You grab a hold of that by just spending time with God. The ordinary way of life is you don't have time to do that. Who has time for prayer? Who has time to read the Bible? Who has time to do anything? Who's got time to go to home group? Who's got time? No one's got time. The ordinary life, because time just crushes us from all sides and pressures us. But when we're living over here, think, hang on a minute, I'm actually living in context of eternity, and yet there's certain things I've got to do, yet certain responsibilities I have just from being alive and being a parent or a worker or a husband, whatever it is in your life that you have to do. But we can actually say, no, Lord, when I put you first, somehow you can actually give me more time. You can multiply the time. If God's able to actually make time stand still, as he did in one passage in the scripture, the reference said, God's able to actually give us more time in our lives and to be productive. Because for a lot of people, it's not the amount of time that you spend doing stuff, it's how productive you are doing the things. You can spend 10 hours doing a 5-hour job. You can spend 2 hours doing a 1-hour job. and you're working really hard but not being very productive or efficient in it. But the Lord enables us. He just helps us. He gives us creativity. He gives us ways of doing things, better ways of doing things when we're drawing on His life. And we can multiply the time in our lives. And so I encourage us to do that. Don't be limited. But the important real thing that I really want us to grab a hold of this morning is this whole issue about how we live our lives according to what we see or not. 2 Corinthians 5 says we live by faith and not by sight. And this to me is one of the critical points of how we're living, in the ordinary way, or are we living as a child of the promise, or in the one born by the power of God, is how we live, whether it's by faith or whether it's by sight. To me, this is one of the real pivotal matters in life. How do we live our life? Is everything judged in your life by what you can see now? This looks terrible. Oh no, woe is me. This is terrible. It's overwhelming. Do you live your life based on what you see happening around you? Is that how you live your life? Because that's a scary way to live, because there's a lot of stuff happens in life. Being a Christian doesn't exempt us from the hard things that happen in life. A lot of bad things happen in life. It doesn't matter whether we're born again or not. There's still a lot of hard things. But how we deal with it, how we process it, is do we live our life according to what we see? Or do we actually live in the realm of faith? Because Abraham was just as good as dead, basically, the scripture said. Hebrews says he was as good as dead. Okay, he's pushing 100. There's, you know, probably not playing a lot of sport these days. And, you know, he's not exactly full of vigor and vitality in life, but God did something in him. He didn't walk. It says, yeah, he realized that he was getting on. The scripture says that he realized that his body was basically just as good as dead, but he believed God, and that was credited to him as righteousness. But what do? We look and say, well, this body, maybe I'm nearly 100, and that's it. I can't do anything anymore. There's no way I'm going to have my own family now. I'm 100. It's not going to happen now. That job that I really felt God had for me, that opportunity, whatever it was, and we say, well, look, it's not going to happen now. And the reality, natural order of things, when you're 100, how many of you have children when you're 100? It doesn't happen. I don't even think with the IVF grandmas that are around. I think the oldest IVF grandma is about 72 having a baby, something like that, 70, 72. Unfortunately, the latest one, she's about 70, I think, the grandma. She had a baby with IVF, and now 12 months later she's got the baby and she's on a deathbed. Doesn't lot of long future as a mother, certainly for that poor little baby. Again, a very choice not made for the child, a choice made for herself, but another story. But I don't know anyone of 100, but in the natural order of things, when you're 100 you don't have babies, and Sarah when she's 90 doesn't give birth, but God does a miracle. And we don't live our lives according to just what we see. Because if you live just your life, even as a Christian, on just what you see, you'd probably want to give up. Sad thing is some people do, because they just live by what they see. As Christians, we can't. We've got to believe and know that God is actually at work, and there's far bigger things that we can see. We live by the Spirit. And I want to close with this scripture, because I just want you to just to check your own heart and say, yeah, do I find that I just go through the motions? And maybe doing all the right things, but it's not really happening in my heart. I want to challenge you today is to say, now understand I have an inheritance in Christ, and I don't have to live in the ordinary way. I don't have to be like everyone else. They get all upset, you know, that the boss, they announce they're going to do some retrenchments in the company. Well, you're not running around like a headless chicken like a lot of the other guys are. You're saying, oh, God, I trust in you. You're my provider. And Lord, whatever happens, Lord, you're my provider. I trust in you. I'm not worried about all of that. And I've had so many testimonies of guys who've been in that situation, and they've actually maintained their job because they just really relied and trusted on God. Other people running around panicking and all sorts of situations. But we say, Lord, no, I'm not going to live by just what I see. This passage in Isaiah 11, I want to close with this. It's prophetically talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, this is the kind of people that God wants us to be. Ones that know that we have an inheritance, that we're ones that have been born of the Spirit of God. We don't live and respond like everyone else. We might have every reason to be angry, every right to keep that relationship because of what they did to me. But that's the ordinary way. We don't live like that. We live under grace. We live differently. Do you live differently in your workplace? Do people know that you're different? because of the way that you respond to a pressured situation. Can they see that? Do they understand that? It's school kids. Do they know that you're a Christian? Do they understand that? Because you don't swear and carry on and whatever else some of the other kids. Is there something different about you? If you love Jesus, is there something different in your life? How do we live our lives? I want to read Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. It's a prophetic word about the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, this is what God's heart is for each and every one of us. And certainly those that are living, as the child of Sarah, living as Spirit-empowered, those that are free in Christ. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Nothing forced, nothing religious, but yeah, it's just the delight of the heart that belongs to God, who understands that great love. And it says, this is the key verse, it says here, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. So what kind of person are you? Do you assess every situation according to the facts and the information that is given to you? Or do you bring it to God and say, God, just show me. Show me what you want to do. Show me the way in this. And Jesus says that he never did anything without, unless the Father told him. He allowed the Lord, this is Jesus when he's on earth, allowed the Father to direct him. It tells us in the book of John how he only did whatever he saw the Father doing. He allowed that. Do you allow the Lord to direct your life? If you never have time for God, never spend time with God, then you're going to live in the ordinary way and you're not going to hear from God and you're not going to know his plans and purpose. But he's given us the spirit of wisdom and understanding. How we crave wisdom. People make a whole lot of silly choices. Even believers as Christians can make silly choices because they do it all in the ordinary way. But we have the spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, the power of God upon our lives, and to be able to judge not by what you see. There's always one. Always remember, on every situation in life that you see, you're looking at a little dot with a paintbrush, a little dab of paint, and yet there's a whole picture. God sees it all. I say, Lord, sometimes you're going through a hard time and people say, God, it's all right for you. You can't see what I'm going through. God, help me. And God is saying, no, look, if you can only see it the way that I see it. And to say, God, show me that. Let me see the things that I'm going through in my life the way that you see them. And Lord, give me the wisdom now because you've enabled me to inherit the promise. How do I walk through that, even in a difficult situation, knowing that you're there with me? He'll not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. And that's a critical factor on whether you're going to live in the ordinary way or live as a child of the promise. And ask yourself, how do you live your life now? And the reality may be that, yeah, look, unfortunately, I tend to always react because I judge things by what I've seen or what I've heard. Or I'm able to take a step back and say, God, I can see this and I know that, but Lord, you just show me now. Give me that wisdom, give me that understanding, and help me to deal and to respond and to walk according to your promise. And if we can live like that, so many problems that people have, counseling needs and struggles and all sorts of things that we have, a lot of those things will just fall away. And we're still not perfect yet. We still need help at times and we're still going to fall in times. But if we learn to live not in the ordinary way, but live in the supernatural way, what an amazing thing it does in your life. And your ability to cope and to deal and not only survive but to prosper really depends upon where you are in that. So let's stand. I want to pray for us today. You may have seen maybe there's areas in your own heart and life you say, yeah, look, I've allowed that ordinary way to be in my own heart and my life. And I've actually do with that. I make decisions based on what is happening around me, on what's happening within my family or the economy or whatever else. And you decide on those external things rather than hearing from what God is saying. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, for every person that's here. Lord, from the younger children, Lord, to the older ones that are here, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we begin to understand, Lord, that we don't have to live in the ordinary way, But Father, that you have called us, Lord, to live, Lord, in the supernatural realm. Lord, to know, Lord, that there's the power of your Holy Spirit that we can rely on. Father, that even with our own human strength, our own human emotions have had enough, Lord, that there's a dimension of the Spirit of God, Lord, that we can draw upon. And Father, that you give us strength, Lord, to not only to get through, but Lord, to conquer in every situation. Father, help us to hear and know your voice, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, never let us be ones that go through the motions. But Father, I pray that the Spirit of God is so alive in every heart, Lord, that we're just so hungry for you, Lord, so passionate for you, Lord, that we just want to be with you, Lord, that we want to spend time with you, Lord. We want to speak forth and declare the word of the living God, Father. I pray that in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that is here this morning, Lord, that they've never actually crossed the line, Lord, they've never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never said, no, I need that. I need Jesus in my life because I just live in an ordinary way. I'm not a bad person, but I just live in the ordinary way. But I want to learn to live in that supernatural dimension, to know the power of Christ in my life, to know his Spirit in my life. Father, I pray, Lord, that the people, Lord, any that are like that here this morning, Lord, that you'll stir their heart and they'll say, I want to cross over. I don't want to live in the ordinary way. I don't want to just have an ordinary, dull, empty, boring life. But Lord, I want to have a life filled with adventures in the Spirit, Lord, as you lead me and prompt me. And Lord, as I am obedient to you, Lord, I see such blessing come in my own life and the life of others. So Father, I pray that. Pray that for every person that is here, Lord, that we'll walk, Lord, in that, Father, Lord, that we will not be ashamed, Lord, to be different, but Lord, to say, no, I'm unashamed to be different because I am different. I'm not according to this world. I live according to another kingdom, Lord. I'm a child of the promise of God. Father, we want to walk in that promise, Father. It's not something that we're reaching far away. But Father, help us to grab a hold of what you've freely given us, Lord. We're the child of the promise. We're children of the promise of God. Lord, born by the power of the Spirit. And Father, change our thinking, change our hearts this day. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name.